This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
So what I told you was true, from a certain point of view.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome to episode 44 of the From a Certain Point of View podcast. Once again, I am Josh.
And I'm Adam.
All right, Adam. So what's been going on, man? What have you been up to this week? Watching, playing, anything fun?
I want to spend some time right in this section and just highlight that I've been hanging out this weekend at Force Fest 2020. Put together a fan-led Star Wars convention, you know, online convention, free to attend, raising money for Make-A-Wish. Sadly, by the time this episode comes out, it's already over. But hopefully everyone out there listening had a chance to jump in and watch a panel or two. There's a lot of really great content this weekend from a ton of different creators. So it was really fun hanging out at Force Fest this week, and it was, you know, for a year that we didn't have a celebration, it kind of felt like a celebration. I mean, I've never been to Celebration, but it had that kind of feel. A lot of great content, a lot of positive vibes, and it's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that you had a good experience with that and everything, and representing our podcast through that event. So thank you, Adam, for doing that.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun.
Fantastic.
What have you been up to, Josh?
Well, Brittany and I were kind of going through our rewatch of the sequel trilogy. We had finished up The Force Awakens and then started watching The Last Jedi last night. So just kind of getting amped up for our trip to Galaxy's Edge.
It's coming
and
up.
Everything. Yeah. And given that the focus of Galaxy's Edge really is the characters and things from the sequel trilogy for the most part, you know, I thought it would be a good time to check those out again. And
yeah, I mean, most of that takes place right after they actually slipped that stuff into canon timeline. I think we might have talked about this before.
Yeah, I think it's like between episode 8 and 9.
So if you stopped your watch through right here and then visited, then you could wrap it up with TROS when you got home, and then it would be like one big long story.
Maybe that's what I'll do. That's good thinking there. Yeah, I'll just stop at 8 and then come back and watch 9. Yeah. I like it. Good call.
Looking out for you, bud.
I appreciate it. So speaking of my trip to Galaxy's Edge, upcoming next week, I wanted to put a poll out there to kind of help me make a decision. And this decision is a very big one. It's a very important decision.
Yeah.
And that is, what lightsaber am I going to purchase Galaxy's Edge? Very important.
Pivotal,
life changing, altering decision. Because I imagine it's going to sit behind me somewhere on display, you know, during our show in the future.
And I mean, it sounds like I'm joking about it, but
it really is a big decision.
It really is a big decision, yeah.
So what I did was I put the four choices that seemed most appealing to me in the poll, and I just wanted to see what the reaction would be. And we had quite a lot of votes on this poll. So
a lot of votes. This might be our most voted poll.
Yeah, 186 votes.
I think it is, yeah.
So the options were Luke's green lightsaber, Mace Windu, the purple lightsaber, and I just love that it's purple, so I threw that one in there just because I think it's cool that it's a very unique color. Kylo Ren, and then Ahsoka Tano's twin sabers, because all of these are offered at Galaxy's Edge. Now, right now, Savi's Workshop is not actually open to create your own lightsaber, but what they have is they have all of these kind of legacy lightsabers in there that you can look at and purchase. So we had coming in last, unfortunately, was Mace Windu at 8%. And then we had
Kylo Ren jumping on that purple bandwagon.
Yeah. I mean, we had a few there, but not too many. We had Kylo Ren with 11%. Ahsoka Tano with 31%, and then winning the poll was Luke Skywalker's green lightsaber at 50% of the vote, which was also...
How are you feeling with that?
I like it because
Is that where you're going?
That's what I voted for, okay. And that's where I was leaning. So it just confirmed that I need to have Luke's green lightsaber, because that lightsaber is something. It just kind of disappears in the sequel trilogy, you know, except for that flashback scene in The Last Jedi, I think. So I think that's the one.
Nice.
Yeah.
I would have picked, if those four were my only options, I would have done Ahsoka's double.
Yeah, you get two, hopefully, for the price of one. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what the prices are on those.
So that is pretty sweet. But yeah, what if you had to choose one? It doesn't have to be on this list. You know, what lightsaber would you go with? I haven't been
thinking about this. I think last week I talked about Leia's, and Leia's is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I was throwing out a couple others, Ahsoka's. I would like that, especially if they were the white ones from Rebels. Mm-hmm. And then Rey's yellow.
Rey's yellow lightsaber would be awesome. I don't think it's an option right now.
Yeah, right.
But that would someday be fantastic. Yeah, I would love that one as well. So, Adam, what's coming up on this week's show?
This week we've got some news and some pretty fun video game stuff, actually. It's going to be most of the news. Followed by a review of the new Clone Wars collection of short stories, Stories of Light and Dark. And then we're wrapping up with a segment on how to navigate that asteroid field that is social media as a Star Wars fan.
Yes, indeed.
All right, let's just jump right into the news.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
So Ahsoka's off right now. She's kind of wrong about this, because we got a lot of good news this week in Star Wars. YouTube, in particular, we got a look at on the Star Wars YouTube channel. We had the Star Wars show, which was looking at past years of Star Wars Celebration. Because, you know, Celebration would have been taking place this past weekend. And so they kind of dedicated the show to looking at past celebrations. They went back quite a few years. I mean, I know Celebration 3 was featured when Revenge of the Sith was about to be coming out, I think. And you had George Lucas there on a panel talking. And it was just kind of cool to see George Lucas at a celebration and talking Star Wars. And they had some other ones, stuff like they had Dave Filoni on there when they were showing one of the first Clone Wars trailers, I think. And just seeing him tell the story of how he was hired to do the Clone Wars and everything, and how he thought it was a joke at first and everything. And,
yeah, it's a great story.
Yeah, and just seeing a younger Dave Filoni, you know, was cool too. So if you haven't yet, check out that latest episode of the Star Wars show, because they feature some celebration stuff. Did you get a chance to check this out yet, Adam?
No, I saw some clips online, but I didn't get to watch the whole thing yet. But yeah.
Yeah, I definitely recommend that. And as Adam said, we have a lot of gaming news this week. And first up, and there was a where did all this gaming news or
Gamescom out of Gamescom. Germany, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. So we had Gamescom.
Com
with an M.
Com.
Okay. Yeah. So that just made me think of was it Step Brothers when he was trying to figure out how to say Pam?
The Pam? Like, Pam? You said Pan or Pam?
Pan. With a D on the end.
Oh, yeah, Pam with a D.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Gotta love
B
me
or something. I think it was a B. Pam with a B.
Yeah. Gotta love Step Brothers. But anyhow.
Yeah.
So at Gamescom, we got some stuff about Star Wars Squadrons. We got some stuff about the Skywalker Saga Lego game coming out next year. And we got some information. I don't know if it was there as well, but on the Sims.
Yeah, actually. It was there too.
So let's start with the Squadrons trailer. This really focused in on kind of the single player mode, I believe.
Yeah.
and seeing some of that in action. I know that, you know, we saw a lot of familiar characters in this trailer. At least I noticed, I think I saw Hera.
Hera seemed to be in
there. I believe that was Hera. And Ray Sloan.
Yeah.
Was in there. And yeah, Wedge.
Super excited to see Ray Sloan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Wedge was in there.
Yeah, so what were your impressions of this latest Star Wars Squadrons trailer, Adam?
So I'm excited that the single player is enough of a campaign to get its own trailer. Which means it's likely more than just a training, you know, set of training missions.
Yeah, maybe it's kind
of get you used to the cockpit and get you used to that type of stuff. So it's a little more than that. Like, I know EA has done some, like on their Battlefield games, they've done what they call a story, and it's mainly just like a glorified tutorial. And you know, this might be that, but at least it's enough that it gets its own. It gets to be featured a little bit. So
do you think we could get at least 5 hours of gameplay out of this?
I'm hoping at least 5 hours. Yeah.
Single player mode. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping at least 5 hours. I think that would be probably about best case scenario. I think 10 would probably be the dream on this, but I think you're probably looking about 5.
Yeah. And one thing I'm a little nervous.
How long do you remember how long the, that campaign was Battlefront 2?
It was probably close to that 5 hour mark. Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm thinking about with this. Yeah. And you know, the one thing I'm just a little bit concerned about with this game is being in that first person view, being in the cockpit. I feel like, I feel like all this stuff in the cockpit's going to be like in my way of seeing. And how, you know, that's going to be tricky for me. Cause I usually pull back into the third person view.
Right. Here's what I like about that is, you know, everyone's on the same playing field with that then. So especially since this is going to be primarily a multiplayer game, the ability to switch between first and third person, you know, you're going to have people that want to fly the cockpit, but then you're going to have people that have the advantage of third person where they're going to be able to see better, especially around them. So it kind of levels that out, makes it more like a sim even, where you're just in the cockpit. So you're, you know, just seeing that first person view. So it'll take some getting used to, because for the advantages of being able to see, I usually use third person as well. So it'll definitely take some getting used to, but I'm glad that you don't have that choice to go back and forth.
Yeah. Cause it'll even the playing field.
Yeah. Right.
As it were. So Star Wars Squadrons is coming out soon. About a month.
October, a little over a month.
October 2nd coming up soon. So I'm excited about that. And let's move right on to Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga. We had a nice trailer. This might be the best trailer of the weekend. Might be the best trailer released for a video game in Star Wars. I don't know. I mean, they used the same music that they used in the Rise of Skywalker trailer, which I thought was just awesome. I mean, I love that music that they used in it. And, you know, of course, we know this game's not coming out till next spring now. It was originally supposed to come out near the end of this year. But what were your thoughts on the Skywalker Saga?
I wasn't really planning on getting this game. And I still don't know if I will. But, man, it hyped me up a little bit. between the music and just, you know, some of the scenes. It was a really well done trailer.
I agree. I mean, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I am so excited to play through the action of these films. And I wish that we had, like, you know, a game, not Lego, that did that, you know, where you could be Rey, you could be Luke, you could be Han and go through different scenes in the movie. Like, I love that stuff. But this is the next best thing. So I'm really excited about it. And I'm definitely going to pick this one up next year. There were definitely a few standout moments for me, that even just like the comedy, like the porgs being inside Luke's robe. You thought it was Luke at first, but there were actually porgs in his robe. And, you know, we get a look at Rey's yellow lightsaber in this trailer as well. Just a lot of cool stuff. We even see Yaddle in battle. I don't know if you caught that or not. It just looks really cool. I'm really excited about it.
I mean, it definitely looks cool. I can't can't say anything to the contrary there. It was a great trailer.
Absolutely. And last up in games, another reveal was that Star Wars is coming to The Sims. And in particular, we're going to Batuu. Mm-hmm. And now, Brittany, you know, my wife, who is a Sims fan, she said, wow, you might actually finally want to play The Sims now. And I was like, you're right.
Yeah.
I've never played The Sims before, but, you know, this Batuu expansion looks pretty cool. So it's coming out next month. What are your thoughts?
I have played The Sims, and I'm not a huge Sims fan. The weird thing about this is that my daughter watches a bunch of YouTube videos on her tablet. And mm-hmm. somehow, along the way, she stumbled across The Sims 4 videos. And she's been begging me to play The Sims 4.
Yeah.
On my gaming PC here.
Uh-huh.
And I've been resisting, and I think I just crumbled on it.
Yeah.
I think without even trying, I think my daughter, Grace, won that battle.
I can certainly understand that because... So. Yeah, I'm going to encourage Brittany to pick up this expansion and maybe we'll play together.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's coming out next week, actually. That's September 8th. That's close. So that's coming out pretty quick.
It's technically next month, but it's also happens to be next week.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can like build your own cantina or something, but that would be
cool. What they showed in that trailer, it looked pretty customizable.
Yeah, for sure.
So if my house ends up being a cantina, I will not complain.
No, I'm good with that.
And I'll probably spend more time than I should in that cantina, that virtual world.
For sure. So. Speaking of cantinas, we do have a reservation for Oga's Cantina. Although our reservation is at a time that is now after the park closes, because Hollywood Studios was open till 8, and now they're reducing the hours down to, and it closes at 7, but our reservation was for like 7:20, 7:30, something like that. So I'm hoping we can just like
stay in
the
park,
hang out by the Falcon, jump into Oga's, still have our, because they didn't cancel our reservation or anything. It still looks active.
That's interesting.
We'll find out, but yeah, I'm trying to get a Bespin Fizz or a Fuzzy Tauntaun or something like that. So yeah.
Nice.
And last up in our news today is about Star Wars Celebration, the store. And there was early access to the store for those that actually had a Celebration ticket. And to the rest of the public, you can shop on the store. I believe it is tomorrow on what would be Monday, August 31st at 12 noon Eastern. On StarWarsCelebration.com, and there's some exclusives that we have. We have a Tauntaun and Luke Skywalker plush. We have an AT-AT or AT-AT, however you prefer to say it, punch bowl. There's also a Millennium Falcon cockpit sunshade for your vehicle, so it looks like your vehicle is the cockpit of the Falcon, which is cool. Then we have a couple Star Wars Empire Strikes Back 40th anniversary lunchbox tins. This looks pretty cool. A Minox suction cup plush. So you can just stick that Minox to something. And we have some shirts celebrating, of course, the 40th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back. And finally, we have, of course, some pins. And then we have a Mandalorian shirt for Star Wars Celebration. So I'm guessing, we see, we got Mando on there, we got IG on there, and we got Cara Dune on there. Now, I'm guessing they would have debuted the trailer for season 2 of The Mandalorian at Celebration. So do you think it's going to be coming soon? Do you think we could see that this week? I don't know.
I mean, that's all the rage on social media now,
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would think that it's coming sometime soon, but
yeah, you would have to guess because the show's coming out in a couple months.
The other thing, and the only reason why I'm thinking about this is because I just made this point on Twitter, but this was the most streamed show at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I also don't think that the success or failure of this show is going to hinge on when or if a trailer arrives prior to it debuting.
That's absolutely true. I just want to see some of it.
For sure. You're
absolutely right. Like, you know, it doesn't need a trailer. They could just launch the second season and probably without a trailer at all.
I mean, that's the thing. What if October 1st rolls around? I don't know what day that is, but then they just say it, Mandalorian's available today.
Right. <know? laughs> Surprise.
Everyone would watch it.
Yeah.
It's not going to suffer because it didn't have a trailer at that point.
Right. But I love trailers and I still want to see one, Adam. So I really hope that we get one.
October 1st is a Thursday, so it would probably be October 2nd.
October 2nd.
That's a Friday. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's, you know, I still think that we will get a trailer before the season. I just have no idea.
Well, hopefully we will get one soon. And if we do, then I know either I or Adam and I will be having some kind of trailer reaction video that we'll post on our YouTube.
Hopefully channel, after you get back.
Hopefully. Yeah. Cause it'd be tough to pull that off while I'm in Florida.
Yeah.
All right, sir. We are ready to move on to our review of
Clone Wars. Stories of Light and Dark.
My disappointment in your performance cannot be overstated.
Earlier this week, Tuesday, actually, the 25th, a brand new Star Wars book hit the shelves. Always excited for brand new Star Wars books. I don't know about you, Josh, but I love brand new Star Wars books.
Definitely. Gotta love them.
Yeah, even for something like this, which isn't something I'd normally usually check out, but we got a review copy of this, so I got a chance to take a look at it. This is the Clone Wars, Stories of Light and Dark. I love this cover. First of all, it's kind of like a watercolored clone trooper helmet. Orangish background, blue trim on the stormtroopers. So it's kind of like our colors, the show colors,
yeah,
I guess.
It does look very cool. We're a little bit biased here, but that's okay. It looks awesome.
A little bit. But yeah, that cover is just beautiful. I love the cover. So what this book is mainly is a compilation of adaptations of Clone Wars episodes. So for example, the first story out of this book is called Sharing the Same Face, and that's written by Jason Fry. That's actually an adaptation of the book of the episode Ambush, which is basically the season one, episode one of Clone Wars. The interesting thing about this is it takes each story kind of takes that episode from a certain character's perspective. So that story that I mentioned, Sharing the Same Face, is written from Yoda's perspective. So you do actually get some interesting point of view. Yeah. Narratives there that happen. So for example, not only
are they using our colors, but they're also telling things from a certain point of view. Am I right?
I'm going to get back. Yeah. And actually that you mentioned that when I was reading this, I kind of thought, you know, this is basically the Clone Wars version of From a Certain Point of View, the A New Hope and then the Empire one that's coming out, that short story collection.
Yeah, do you remember when that's coming out? Because I'm really excited about that one.
The Empire one is, one. I think it's either October or November this year. It's coming soon. That sounds about right. Yeah, I forget the actual date, but yeah, it's coming soon. But yeah, this felt like the Clone Wars version of those books. So it's kind of neat. You do get some perspective things, like I mentioned. So like the Yoda part of Sharing the Same Face. You find out that he's a little disappointed that he's actually facing Ventress here. He was hoping to kind of meet up with Dooku and make an attempt at turning him back to the light. So you get some neat little things, some things there that kind of help as you watch the show to maybe understand a little bit of the motivations that are involved there. So I really appreciated that part of it. So who's this book for? One thing to keep in mind, this is definitely written at a grade school level. So it's not really meant for like you or I. It's really meant for, someone at that age range. These are all pretty short stories. very, very approachably written for kids of that age. However, I do think that for those reasons I mentioned before, like those point of view reasons, I think that if you are a, you know, out of that age range, if you're a little older, you know, our age, you know, something like that, if you're a Clone Wars mega fan, like you love Clone Wars, I think you can get some value out of this book.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Did you mention how many different short stories it has, or?
I believe 11, if I okay. counted right. I know there's 11 authors, and I think they all just wrote one. And the authors, it's a pretty good list of authors, and some of them, like I mentioned, Jason Fry, some of them are, you know, no stranger to Star Wars stories. So right. a lot of them are doing like a repeat story, but I believe there's 11 stories. So it basically kind of picks and chooses some Clone Wars episodes and, mm-hmm. You know, kind of just tells them, it makes an adaptation of them, I guess. So,
right. Now, do you think that the intention behind this book is to, this collection of short stories is to introduce kids to the Clone Wars era? Do you think it's to kind of enhance, you know, if they've already seen the episode, you know, like what comes first? Do you think they have to see the show before they read the book, or vice versa? Yeah. Or?
So a couple things. I do think it's written to enhance the episode. I think that's the intention. You know, so I think the main idea is that you've already seen the episode and you're kind of going back to read the book, you know, kind of like how we do with novelizations of movies. You know,
yeah.
We go see the movie, at least nowadays, we go see the movie, and then a month or a couple months later, the book comes out. We go back and read the book, and it can enhance, you know, what we're already familiar with. So yeah,
fills in some of those details. And
so I think at a grade school level, I think that's what this is really meant for. Mm-hmm. However, for that age range, I think this book would be perfectly fine if you had never seen the Clone Wars. So if you have someone in mind that you're maybe thinking about this book for, if they're a Star Wars mega fan, they've seen every Clone Wars episode, they know what happens in all of them, I think they'll find some value in this, and I think they'll have a lot of fun reading this. If you have someone that's like just starting to get into Star Wars or has never watched Clone Wars at all, I think that these are all very approachable. I mean, they're all written. Mm-hmm. They're all their own self-contained story. So I think that you can get some good value out of these stories, even if that's the scenario. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoyed this, and I say actually just because, you know, it's not written at my level. I was expecting to be a little sure. bored. I did enjoy getting those, you know, just kind of little nuggets. It's not filled with stuff. Like if you skip this, you're not going to miss like any, if you're trying to get like every canon detail ever, you're not going to miss anything big in this book. So, you know, if you're expecting to get this thing and have like a Dark Disciple type story, you know, with Quinlan Vos and Ventress, that's not what you're getting here. Mm-hmm. And these aren't really even untold Clone Wars tales, kind of like Dark Disciple was. These are adaptations of existing episodes, just so everyone's clear on that. This isn't like lost Clone Wars episodes. This is
right.
Clone Wars episodes that you know and are familiar with, and this is the adaptation of some of those.
Did you have a favorite?
You know, actually, I was pretty disappointed. and so I liked... There's things I'll start with it to answer the question first. There's things I liked about a couple of the first few. I really liked that Yoda one. And then the next one's interesting too. It's actually, from Dooku's perspective about the, I'm going to forget which arc that was from. But the arc where, Dooku and Anakin and Obi-Wan are all kind of imprisoned together. It's the story of that written from Dooku's perspective. And he's actually kind of like telling, he's recording this to send a report to Sidious. So he's telling them, he's kind of giving Sidious the rundown of what happened, you know, in that story, and he's recounting it, you know, from that perspective. Okay. I thought that was kind of neat.
That is cool.
That's yeah. Neat. And then after that, he just decides to delete the recording. So he doesn't even send it. But it was kind of a neat little psyche type thing. The one I was really disappointed in was called Bane, and I was hoping to get some like Darth Bane stuff, but it was Cad Bane, and I'm like, oh
yeah,
I like Cad Bane. I like Cad Bane a lot, right. But I was like, this is going to be some like maybe some like Sith mythology, maybe get into some of that stuff. No, it wasn't. So, but still good stuff regardless. You know, it's you know, that was just my own little disappointment. So. Yeah, Clone Wars: Stories of Light and Dark. It was a lot of fun. I had fun reading this. If you have, like I said, younger Star Wars fans, go ahead and pick it up for them. It's available in hardcover, and there's an audiobook adaptation, and then there's also the ebook for Kindle version. So none of them too expensive. Hardcover is like $17, $18. Kindle's like $10 or $11. So.
You may have mentioned this. I'm not sure if you did or not, but is it all like illustrated, like fully illustrated?
There's illustrations. It's more like in between stories. So it's not like a storybook, like a younger kids, like a golden book type thing. It's not like that where the illustrations are in with the story. In between the chapters, there's some illustrations in that. So, okay. So yeah, there are some fun illustrations to check out. And it's not like full, I don't know what to compare it with, but it's more like a black and white, almost like a pencil type drawing. So it's not like concept art or behind the scenes stuff or anything like that. It's, you know, just kind of some nice little in between chapter artwork. So
nice.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So yeah, like I said, that's out already. If you want to read a version of this review, that's on our website, fromacertainpointofview.com. You can check it out there. Like I said, this book came out August 25th, and it's from Disney Lucasfilm Press. And you know, if you got a younger fan or if you love Clone Wars, give it a shot. You know, what do you got to lose? So
yeah, I mean, well, I know. You know, in the near future, we're going to talk about how to introduce kids to Star Wars. So maybe this can be in our top five, possibly.
You never know. That might make that show. Yeah. We're going to talk about we have that show coming up in a couple weeks. We're pretty excited for that show. You know, Josh and I are both parents, and, reading this, I was definitely thinking that this might be a good jumping in point for kids. So
sounds like it to me. Well, thanks, Adam, for the review, and I might have to check this one out as well.
Yeah. So next up on our schedule for this episode, we're going to dive into a fun, quote-unquote, fun topic about how to Twitter. So how do we navigate Twitter as Star Wars fans?
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
You know, one of the things you hear about being a Star Wars fan is that navigating social media as a Star Wars fan is pretty terrible. You hear a lot about the toxicity of Star Wars fans nowadays. And to some degree, you know, when you jump onto Twitter or a Facebook post and dive into some comments, you're going to see that type of stuff. So we wanted to take a segment here this week, and we wanted to talk about how we have been navigating Star Wars social media, how it's worked for us, you know, some things that we have learned along the way. Hopefully one of these things can help you guys out as you're jumping into Star Wars social media. This doesn't just apply to Twitter. This is any social media. I mean, you can find this stuff on Facebook, on Instagram. It's not just Twitter. It's not just Star Wars even, you know. You get into, I don't know if anybody's ever checked out sports Twitter, but it's pretty rough.
Is it?
It's pretty ugly. So this isn't, like I said, this isn't just Star Wars. This isn't just Twitter. This is pretty much any type of social media. I don't think anything that we're saying here is the right or the only way to handle this stuff either. But hopefully it helps. Something might hopefully help. So let's just dive right into this. I think the first and the most important thing that we're going to talk about here is, you know, first of all, you get out of it what you put into it. And so if you're trying to put in positive stuff, you're generally going to get that back. And the people that talk to you and engage with you, interact with you, if you make that your priority, that's generally what you get back. If you start really engaging in the negativity, then that's going to attract that attention as well. And that's, you know, that's going to start following you. The other very important thing, kind of the main idea here, is probably talk to people on social media like you're talking to a human being. You know, talk to them like you are speaking to them in real life, face to face, that type of interaction, conversation. It's just having genuine interactions with people. You know, approach every interaction that you have that way. That sets the tone for the discussion, and it usually helps avoid a lot of negativity. Even if you're jumping into a debate, you know, if you jump into that type of debate in a conversational way, generally people pick up on that, and they usually respond a little bit differently than they would if you're just starting to sling mud, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Adam, you know, I teach elementary students, and I teach them about, you know, bullying and, you know, even online bullying. And we always talk about how to be careful when you're online with what you say. It's easier to say something that you normally wouldn't say to somebody in person, you know, because you're behind a screen. And I always encourage them to think about the fact that there's somebody on the other side of that screen that has feelings, that is a person. You know, and sometimes we lose sight of that, and it's just easier to speak our mind when we're not in person. So I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned mudslinging a little bit. Be very careful when you jump into that, even if you're doing something like retweeting it and quoting it to give your spin on it. You know, that can generally invite some pretty negative stuff towards you. You know, you're jumping into that fray in one way or another. So you know, be careful with that. Another thing to watch is what I'm going to call the, almost like an Anakin type statement. If you're not with me, you're my enemy. Yes. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you say something like, if you believe this, or if you are this, then you are automatically something else, you know, I would say, just don't make those.
So, we know that only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Absolutely. I didn't mean that as a pun.
That.
Yeah. So, just watch that. Because the thing is, even if you don't necessarily mean that all of one type of person falls into some category, it really just invites that conversation. And it usually degenerates into something pretty ugly pretty fast. For me, I stay away from those type of statements. I stay away from that type of thing for that reason. And then here's another negative aspect of social media, is that some accounts are just out there to be negative. Their only goal is to stir controversy, because sad as it is, controversy, negativity is good for interactions. So if you wonder why some YouTube accounts do better than others, sometimes it happens to be because that person intentionally stirs controversy, and you know, that generates comments, and it generates likes and dislikes, and it generates that type of stuff, and it helps their account. You know,
yeah, it's very true.
It's a sad part of social media, but it's true.
Yeah. And there's a reason that, you know, the news is almost always negative, because, you know, that's what gets the viewers and the clicks and everything like that. So it's the same can be said about Twitter sometimes.
Sure. Absolutely. So what we've done on Twitter is, you know, we have tried to create positive content so we can engage with people in a meaningful way. And that has really given us a wonderful people, a group of people around us. You know, there's been this community that we've jumped into, and that has thankfully accepted us and, you know, had us as one of their own. We've had really nothing but positivity around our account from day one.
Yeah, it's been an absolutely great experience, Adam. And, you know, because it's really a stark contrast to my initial experience with Star Wars on Twitter. You know, because I mistakenly dove really deep into Twitter after The Last Jedi and seeing a lot of the harsh comments that were made about that film and about the people that made it or the people that were in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that got pretty ugly and it was very discouraging. And, you know, I had to step away from that and stepping back into it whenever we started our podcast has really been a great experience.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a good point that you bring up. I mean, sometimes it definitely can be worse than others. So you're definitely going to see it more prevalent, you know, around a time like Last Jedi or even mm-hmm. really around the time of any major release, you know,
Yeah.
You're just going to see people talk about it a lot more. So you're going to run into that negativity at some point and you're going to run into that. First of all, you know, we're going to come back to that because I want to talk about, you know, what you can, you know, what we do or what you can do when that type of stuff does arise.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I want to point out we are what I would consider mega fans. You know, we're hypersensitive to these things because we're so involved in it. So when you hear about things like Star Wars Twitter, you know, or any, again, this is any social media, but when you hear about things like Star Wars Twitter, first of all, remember that that is what accounts for probably a pretty small portion of the fan base as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
My definition of what a fan base would be is a group of people that consist of someone that says, I like those movies and I'm a fan of those movies, you know? So with that definition, it's a pretty broad fan base. You know, there's a lot of people. If you want to put some numbers on this, Twitter has a monthly active users count of 330 million, which is roughly the size of the U.S., you know, if you're putting it into those terms. However, their daily active users, which is really what we are, you know, someone who's on there reading or interacting or tweeting on a daily basis, that's about 152 million. So less than half. If you wanted to say that even half of those daily users are what you would call, you know, Star Wars Twitter, 75 million, give or take, you're putting the Star Wars Twitter basically all of Star Wars Twitter into a country that's like the size of France, you know? Now, France isn't a tiny country, but that does leave, you know, the rest of the world that can still be Star Wars fans that aren't in Star Wars Twitter. For me, my thinking, getting my head around that, kind of helps to illustrate that this can be a pretty small portion of the people that are actually called Star Wars fans.
Yeah, and I think something we have to consider, too, is that there can be a very vocal and very negative minority out there that makes things seem like they're worse than they are just because of how vocal that, you know, minority can be sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's kind of what we're looking at here is that we're really focusing on what's a small segment of the Star Wars fan base. And so it's safe to assume that most of the inverse of this, you know, they aren't aware of what happens on Twitter. They just watch the movies because they like them, they enjoy them, and that's about it, you know?
Yep.
I would say probably most of what of whoever calls themselves Star Wars fans that aren't on Twitter don't mm-hmm. even know about any of this stuff that happens, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would say about the people that are in my life, I mean, you and I, and maybe Brittany, because I talked to her about it, really know that this stuff goes on. I mean, you know, because I have a lot of family and friends who might be just a casual Star Wars fan. They probably have no idea that some of this stuff happens on Twitter. They go and see the movies and either like them or don't like them, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, we've talked a little bit about Celebration on this episode. But we have to remember that not every interaction with Star Wars fans is negative. Celebration is always put out as that example of something that has, you know, a ton of Star Wars fans attend and is generally seen as a very positive experience. And you can speak to that because you've been there. Everybody that I've spoke to says the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars Celebration was exactly what I needed after the whole Last Jedi thing happened and kind of the division between the fans and everything. And I was very discouraged by that. And I just wanted everybody to kind of come back together and just be a Star Wars fan again.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, just kind of that excitement that existed after The Force Awakens or around The Force Awakens. And I think Celebration, that was what I needed to get that experience again and to feel like there are tons of fans out there that just love Star Wars and want to celebrate it and not burn it down.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that leaves us a kind of a crossroads here, a bit of a dilemma. We have, you know, the fact that the negativity does exist out there. It's definitely there. But we also have the fact that there's positive ways to deal with things, more positive ways to interact, so that you don't have to worry about this stuff as much.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when you do see toxic behavior? Do you call that out? Do you do your own thing? What's the right thing to do? You know, as a Star Wars fan on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, that's the type of dilemma that just doesn't have an answer, a direct, clear answer. You know, I can't tell you do this and you're going to be golden. What I can say is pick your battles. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you have to call something out, then do it. But I would suggest to make that statement and then try to move past it, move past it into something new.
Yeah.
Try not to engage in that day in, day out. It's going to burn you out as a Twitter user. And maybe you can speak to, mentioning how you felt after Last Jedi and that you really stepped away with it. It's going to burn you out. Mm-hmm. And if you're working, like we are with a podcast or a blog or something like that, a website, whatever you're doing, it could very easily burn out the people that are following you too. You know, they may have signed on for a different reason than talking about negativity day in and day out, right?
Yeah, I can actually think of a couple examples that I've kind of dealt with, and one was The Last Jedi, and they're, you know, just somebody basically making a comment like, if you were a fan of The Last Jedi, you're not really a Star Wars fan.
That's one of those Anakin statements, right?
If you like it, you're a Disney shill. There was an occasion where I kind of spoke up and I said, hey, you don't represent all Star Wars fans. And there are a lot of people that love this movie. And, I just kind of called that out. I felt I needed to. But then I kind of moved on from that. And then the other example actually just happened last night. there was a certain news outlet, I'll call them, like a movie news outlet, who had just done an article on the worst Christopher Nolan movie. Like, this is why or The Dark Knight Rises is the worst Christopher Nolan movie. And I just asked the question, I'm like, what exactly is the point of you pointing out the worst Christopher Nolan film? Like, what are you trying to do with that? I'm like, you know, he's a great director. A lot of people love that movie and think it's a great Batman film. So I'm not even going to click on your article because you're just trying to get clicks by doing something intentionally negative.
It goes back to that, you know, it's good for numbers, you know, it generates clicks. So, just say what you need to say. Get back to your content. The thing is about this, it's so easy to get pulled into this, you know, and not get back out. You know, it's so easy to fall into the trap of calling out every negative thing that you see, and then you never really get back to why you're there in the first place. Be careful how deep you get yourself into this, because it's very hard to get back out. Basically, know when to draw the line. If mm-hmm. you If you want to use features like mute and block, you know, use them wisely and apply them how you see fit. But I think, but most important, know when to step away, even, you know, even more than mute block, just know when to step away. I had to take a mental health day from Twitter a few days ago. I just had to get away for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Know when to put it down and walk away. Because there's also one sad truth in this, too. There's always going to be a segment of fans that you can't, you know, fix, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be that dark corner of fandom that you just don't want to venture into. You know, those people are not going to go away. They have more of a voice because of social media and things like that nowadays. You're never going to totally obliterate that. So just be very careful how far you let yourself go into that corner.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. You know, sometimes you just got to pull yourself out of it, step away. Like you said, take a break, mute or block certain things. I mean, I think that's a healthy way of dealing with it.
Yeah. So, you know, in closing here, I'm willing to bet that you didn't create your Twitter account so that you could jump into fights about Star Wars. Maybe you did. If you did, I hope you find something fun sometime. Because, you know, what we have found, what we have learned, is there's a lot of fun to be had on Twitter. There's a lot of great friends on any type of social media that you can meet, that you, you know, this is the promise of social media, that you can bring these types of people together to meet people that in your everyday life you wouldn't have had the chance to meet. You know, that's one of the promises and why social media can be so strong. Hopefully you can have that type of fun and you can enjoy what social media is meant to be and try to build that wall and separate yourself from the negative aspects of social media, the stuff that can really cause you to want to walk away from it. So hopefully there's something in, you know, this last 20 minutes or so that spoke to you, that helped you with, you know, being on Twitter or Facebook, that, you know, maybe you were getting tired of it. Maybe you're tired of seeing all the negativity. Maybe something here helped you. I hope that's the case, because that was kind of the idea behind this segment.
Absolutely, Adam. And thanks for taking the lead on this one and educating me a little bit on Twitter as well, because it's not exactly my strong suit. So I appreciate your knowledge here in this instance.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not a Twitter expert. I've been on here for a while. I think my personal account's like 10 years old. But I've stepped away from it a few times and, you know, picked it back up. I mean, I'm not a Twitter expert, but I mean, this is just the stuff for us, for our account, that has really worked, you know?
Yeah, and so. I think we really would like to thank all the people that are a part of our particular Star Wars community and those that follow us and chat with us and everything on Twitter. We thank you for being awesome. And, you know, you've made Absolutely. It a really positive experience for us. So thank you.
Absolutely. All right. You ready to wrap up this episode?
Let's do it.
I'm just glad you're here.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to episode 43 of From a Certain Point of View. There's no one to thank for a live show today. We went back to the dark ages of the podcast, and we're not live.
Our early days.
Yeah, we're not live today or in the next 2 weeks, actually. We will be back live on the 19th of September, so we're looking forward to getting back to those live shows. But thank you for tuning into the podcast. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. We're on a lot of them. If you're on one like iTunes or even Podchaser that enables you to leave a review, please do that. It's the only way that we know what to do better, what to keep doing. And it also helps us get in front of more people as well. Check out the website fromacertainpointofview.com. You can find blog articles there. Send us questions, show topics. We have a list of every podcast app that we are a part of. You can find Any link to any podcast app you use is on our website. Our socials are Twitter at Certain POV Pod, Facebook From a Certain Point of View. The Discord server is in the show notes and on the website as well. Our email address is certainpovpod@gmail.com, and we are hosted by Anchor, where you can leave a 60-second voicemail, ask any question about the show, let us know what your experience on Twitter has been, send a voicemail in. We would love to play that on the show and get your get your take on Twitter or Facebook or whatever you like to use. Check out the Red 5 Network. We are just a small part of the Red 5 Network. There's a lot of great shows on that network, so check out red5network.com for all of these shows, not just Star Wars related. You can find a lot of great stuff there. You can find me on Twitter is the best place, at TheGauze85. And Josh, where can they find you?
They can also find me on Twitter at JediJarJar1722. And once again, I just want to thank everybody out there for listening to our podcast. And we really encourage you to also subscribe to our YouTube channel, From a Certain Point of View. And if you are watching on YouTube, you will notice a transformation has taken place during the course of this episode, where my hair was cut in between one of the segments. I went and got my hair cut real quick, came back. We're just some
actually that'd be weird, because you started out with short hair and then it would have been a really long episode, because it got really long in the middle, and then it got short at the end.
Right. So, we thank you wherever you're watching or listening. And remember that everything we said today was true.
From a certain point of view.